Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
So it's not a sin in your church to have an abortion?
That's the kind of conversation we would have finding out your story, where you're from. God's the judge. People have to live to their own conviction.
The science is clear. The Bible is clear. And if we're honest, our intuitions are clear. We know what we're killing. We're killing a human being.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
All righty, it is a Witness Wednesday. Hey, Trish.
Okay, I'm at the mall again, and I was walking through the food court, and I saw this guy with crazy green hair, and I've got to be honest, Lucky, his name is Lucky, I stopped him just because of the way he looks. I mean, he's in a kilt, you know, it's kind of hot out, but he says he's not hot because the kilt, you know, lets air through and stuff. He is a Wiccan and was raised Wiccan. Wow. And said, I asked him, why, you know, I'm not Wiccan, I'm Christian. Why would I want to be into Wicca? And he said the reason why is because there really aren't any rules or laws or limitations. It's not the only way, like Christianity. So you can kind of do what you want to do. And that's why he's into it.
Got to appreciate that honesty.
I do. He is. Yeah, I appreciate that about Lucky. He's very upright.
It's interesting because Wicca predominantly, not exclusively, but predominantly, it attracts women to it. There's also a lot of sexual freedom in Wicca and even experimentation going on. And as you say, you can create your own god, you can create your own idol, you can hearken back and read some book and go, ah, that works for me, I'll take Isis to be my goddess. And so there's a lot of ability to sin because it's idolatry, but Lucky's a guy. That's pretty unusual.
That's right, and I didn't mean to say upright, but I meant to say forthright.
Yeah, okay. All right.
He's wearing a kilt and a Marilyn Manson T-shirt, and he's got green hair. Yeah. What are those called, those tights you're wearing?
Oh, they're just regular
fishnets. Like fishnets, you know, yeah, stockings. And he's got Lucky tattooed on his bottom lip.
All righty then. Ray?
Yeah.
Scared?
I wonder what church he's the pastor of.
He's just the youth minister. All right, Let's give it a go with Lucky. All right, Trish, well done.
Okay, you're on the air, Lucky.
Brave soul.
Hello?
Hello, so you're a green-haired, kilt-wearing Wiccan called Lucky. Oh, you've got Lucky tattooed on your lip?
Yes, sir.
Did that hurt?
Yeah, I actually had to go and get it done 4 different times because it wouldn't stay the first couple of times.
But it must have hurt because your lips are very, very tender.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, Lucky, tell me, why are you called Lucky?
Well, the reason they call me Lucky is because I'm full-blood Irish.
Ah, what are you wearing a kilt for? Isn't someone
The reason I'm wearing a kilt is because it's hot outside.
Oh, really? Okay. So you're called Lucky because you're Irish. What's the luckiest thing that's ever happened to you?
The luckiest thing that's ever happened to me would have to be my son.
Are you married or not?
No, ma'am.
That
no,
was
sir,
a silly question. Yeah, you've got a son?
Yes.
Now, do you believe in God's existence?
I do believe in a supreme being, yes.
Did you see the baby get born?
Oh, yes, I did.
So you have to believe in a supreme being, huh?
Oh, most definitely.
Yeah. So what do you think God is like?
Oh,
give me some attributes that you think... let me give them to you and you say yes or no. Do you think God is intelligent?
Oh, very.
Okay. Do you think he's good?
Yes.
Do you think he's just?
Yes, just very much so.
Do you know what you're saying?
Do you realize
that if God is just, then God must see that justice is done on the day of judgment? Does that make sense?
Definitely. Okay. Oh, it makes complete sense. I believed in that when I was in the military.
Okay. Now, how are you going to do on the day of judgment? Do you think you're a good person?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Let's have a little courtroom here. I'll be the prosecutor. You be the defendant.
Okay.
I'll examine you under the light of God's law, and you can tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth to help you, God. Can you do that?
All right. Yeah.
Okay. You ready?
All right.
How many lies do you think you've told in your life, Lucky?
Uncountable.
You mean there's a lot. So these are these are real lies. So what do you call somebody who tells lies?
A liar.
Have you ever stolen something?
Yes.
What do you call somebody who steals things?
A thief.
Have you ever used God's name in vain?
Yes.
Do you realize what you're doing when you do that?
That is blasphemy.
Okay, it's where you take God's name, he gave you your child, and you use his name as a cuss word to express disgust.
Yes, sir, I do, but I do not believe that using that term is blasphemy because I do not believe in...
Of course, because you wouldn't do it if you did.
Exactly.
Now, Jesus said whoever looks upon a woman to lust after her has committed adultery already with her in his heart. Have you ever looked at woman with lust, sexual desire?
Oh, yes.
Okay, so that's enthusiastic. So let's make a little summation in this court case. By your own admission, Lucky, you're a lying, thieving, blasphemous adulterer at heart. So yep. how do you plead on the day of judgment, guilty or not guilty, in the light of that?
Then I would have to be guilty on that.
Okay, heaven or hell?
In your book, I would be going to hell.
It's actually not my book. I didn't have anything to do with it. It came around before.
Okay, the book that you believe in, I'd be going to hell.
Okay, yeah, you're right. The Bible says all liars will have their part in the lake of fire. We think, you know, lying is a trivial crime, but God is so serious about deceitfulness. He killed the husband and wife in the book of Acts because they told one lie. He says all liars will have their part in the lake of fire, and the scriptures say lying lips are an abomination to the Lord because his moral standard is infinitely higher than ours. No thief, no blasphemer, no adulterer will inherit the kingdom of God. So does it concern you, Lucky, that if you died today and God gave you justice, bearing in mind he's seen your thought life and the deeds you've done in darkness as well as what we've just talked about, that you'd go to hell forever? Does that concern you?
No, it does not concern me.
Okay, would you sell?
I do not believe in the existence of hell within itself, so I do not.
Of course.
It really wouldn't concern me that much.
would you sell an eye for $1 million?
No.
Okay, what say we gave $100 million for both?
Nope.
Okay, that's because your eyes are precious to you? They're without price.
Very much so.
And yet your eyes are merely the windows of your soul. The real you, Lucky, looks out of those windows. You've got little shutters. If you shut the shutters, your eyelids, you can't see out. If your eyes are so precious to you that you'd never sell them for $100 million, how much more is your soul worth? And you're saying, I don't care if God damns me. I don't care if I go to hell forever and lose this very precious life. Of course you care. There's something in you.
I don't believe God will damn me. I don't believe my God will damn me.
Well, you know what you've just done, Lucky?
What's that?
You've just broken the second of the Ten Commandments. Do you know what it is?
No, I don't.
Okay, well, you give me your thoughts after I tell you what it is.
All right.
It is, you shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make yourself a graven image of any likeness. In other words, you shall not make a god to suit yourself either with your hands or with your mind. Before I was a Christian, I created a god I was comfortable with. I created a god I felt that I could snuggle up with. And I could say, my god would never create hell. My god's like this. And I shape a god in my mind to suit myself. That's called idolatry. And the Bible says idolaters are not inherit the kingdom of God. You better believe it. The God of Scripture, the God that created you, is holy and just, as you said, and good. And because he's good, he's going to make sure rapists are punished, thieves are punished, fornicators, blasphemers, murderers, adulterers. His goodness is going to go right down to the thoughts and intents of your heart, whether you believe it or not. See, if you believe the sun's made of ice, it doesn't change realities. The sun is as it is, no matter what. What you and I believe about realities doesn't matter at all. And I'm telling you the gospel truth, Lucky, that if you die in your sins and God gives you justice, you're in big trouble. You believe I'm lying to you?
I do not believe that you're lying to me. I believe that you're telling me what you believe in.
Yeah, well, I believe in the gospel truth. It is the gospel truth. It's something that resonates with your conscience. You know it's wrong to lie, don't you?
Yes.
You know it's wrong to steal?
Yes.
You know it's wrong to blaspheme?
Using God's name in vain?
Yeah.
I don't consider that wrong.
Yeah, but you know in your heart it's a wrong thing to do. Blasphemy using God? He gave you your child and you use his name as a cuss word. Lucky, I wouldn't use your name as a cuss word. There's no one on earth that I so hate I'd use the name as a cuss word. I wouldn't even say, Adolf Hitler. But you've taken the name of the God who gave you your child and gave you your eyes and your ears to hear good music and your brain to think with and your taste buds to enjoy good food, and you've used his name as a cuss word. That shows how much you hate the God of creation. You don't hate the God of your own image that you made in your mind. The God that created you is offensive to you because of his moral government. You don't like him telling you what to do, and that's the essence of sin. It's a rebellion. Your mind is in a state of hostility towards the God that gave you life. And you've got to come to him and say, God, please forgive me. And if you do repent and trust in the Savior, God is rich in mercy to all that call upon him. And he can be merciful to you because he sent his son to die on the cross for your sins. When Jesus is on the cross, he is paying the fine for the law that you broke, and that means God can legally dismiss your case because of the suffering, death, and the resurrection of the Son of God. But what you got to do, Lucky, is repent, turn from your sins, and say, God, forgive me for doing such terrible deeds, and put your trust in Jesus Christ. Trust him alone for your salvation, not your goodness, but trust in him and his blood that was shed for you, such as God's love for sinners. Hey, Todd, would you like to talk to Lucky?
I sure would like to talk to Lucky. How do you do, Lucky?
Pretty good. How you doing?
I like you. Okay, Lucky, the guy that you were talking to, clearly he's a Christian. All right?
Yes, sir.
And you were saying things like, well, that's your truth. Do you think that that fellow is wrong? Lucky, I want to challenge you today. At the bare minimum, I would rather have you say those Christians are wrong rather than saying, well, that's what they believe, and if it works for them, that's good. That's their truth, but it's not my truth. See, here's why. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. Nobody comes to the Father but through me. That's so exclusive. It's better for you to just go, I don't believe it, than to say, well, it doesn't really matter to me, because if it's true, Lucky, it does matter to you.
Well, I have made a decision in my life, and my decision in my life was to follow Wicca.
All right, then, dude, just so you know, the Bible says God's wrath is aimed directly at you. All right, dude?
All right.
All right, mate. Thanks very much for the chat.
No problem.
All right, see ya.
This is Wretched Radio.
Thanks for being here today. We always appreciate when you choose to spend part of your day with us here at Wretched Radio. Now, we don't mean to come off as know-it-alls, but we have so much good stuff that we want to share with you that a 30-minute TV show, a 60-minute radio show, and a marvelous home on the internet, wretched.org, aren't enough to contain it all. That's why the top minds here at Wretched, the both of them, got together and decided, let's put out a newsletter, and let's make it free. All you have to do is go to wretched.org/newsletter and sign up. And that is the proverbial it. Easy peasy. Then, just like clockwork, the Wretched newsletter shows up every month in your email. You'll receive updates not only on what's going on here at Wretched, and there's always a lot of stuff going on here, but you'll get thorough and in-depth messages on a wide range of theological issues that we face today as Christians. So get signed up for the Wretched newsletter. Wretched.org/newsletter. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
What two pastors go through to bring Bibles to their parishioners in the Philippines.
Two pastors, they had to rise up 3 a.m. and walk for 2 hours. And after that, they have to ride a bangka across the river for an hour and then walk again for 3 hours just to get hold of those precious Bibles. They will return in the same way again to bring those Bibles to people whom they are ministering.
That is what they go through. What must you and I do to bring those Bibles to believers around the globe? Pick up our phones. Call Bible League International. Would you do that right now? $5 per Bible. Could you send 7 per month? Call Bible League International right now, and they will be delivered to the hands of a believer. 1-800-YES-WORD. Just giving you a chance to write that down or to call it. 1-800-YES-WORD to bring Bibles to believers through Bible League International. 1-800-YES-WORD.
What are you doing April 8th? I know you're getting as many copies of The Man Who Split Time, 22 Proofs Jesus is God. You are going out to the streets to a university campus, joining many wretches to give away a gospel booklet that demonstrates Jesus is God, co-authored with this man, Phil Johnson. Say hi, Phil Johnson.
Hi, Phil Johnson.
He's better in writing. Get your copies of The Man Who Split Time and give it away to as many people as you can on April 8th.
So join us for the Easter Invasion, April the 8th. To get your copies of Wretched's newest evangelical resource today, go to wretched.org/time. Wretched.org/time. And join your fellow wretches April the 8th at any public university or college campus for the Easter Invasion. Let's invade these campuses and share the gospel by handing out The Man Who Split Time, 22 Proofs Jesus is God. Get your copies today at wretched.org/time. Wretched.org/time.
Know your church fathers. Jerome was a 4th century Christian theologian and one of the original four doctors of the church. His most important work was the Latin Vulgate, a translation of the scriptures from Hebrew and Greek into Latin, the vernacular of his day. The Vulgate remained the preeminent translation of the Bible for a millennium.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Let's get to the streets. Hey, Trish.
Hi, I'm still at the mall, and I found a young girl named Brittany, and she wants to be a radio personality. In fact, she is going to start going to broadcasting school during the fall at a broadcasting school here in the Fort Worth area. Her name's Brittany. She's Seventh-day Adventist. She thinks that you need to be a good person in order to go to heaven. Okay, who is she going to be talking
Ray.
To before she
Ray.
Leaves?
Ray.
Okay, Ray, you're going to talk to my friend Ray about spiritual things. Remember,
be a good radio personality, Ray.
So
don't tell him.
Okay, you ready, Ray? Talk to the phone.
Thanks for not leaving.
This is Brittany.
Brittany, thank you so much for not running out on us. I thought you wanted to be a radio personality.
Yes, I do.
Well, what are you running away from?
Don't do it.
This is radio, and you're being a personality. Okay?
Yes.
Can you make sure you don't face the wind with a phone because it's going whoa, 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 whoa.
Okay.
So tell me, Brittany, the most important question any of us can ever ask is how do you get to heaven? Could you tell me what you think?
I believe that you have to live your life right, basically, to go to heaven. And when I say live your life right, I mean going by the Ten Commandments in the Bible.
Okay. You got to live your life right. So that's what, if I was dying, I got a knife in my back, I got 3 minutes to live, and I say, oh, Brittany, I'm dying. I'm scared of dying. I've sinned against God. I've committed adultery, and I've lied and stolen. And I've blasphemed God's name. I've been godless. I got 2 minutes to live. How can I get to heaven? What would you tell me?
I would tell you to ask God for forgiveness, and when you ask Him for forgiveness, I would want you to really, really want to be forgiven for all the sins that you've committed in life.
Okay, do I got to do anything else?
No.
Well, why are you telling me I got to keep the Ten Commandments then? If I'm dying, I got 2 minutes to live, and you say all I got to do is ask God for forgiveness, then I can do that now without the 2 minutes for dying. If that's the way of salvation, anyone could do that. Isn't that right?
That's
just,
right.
Just say, God, please forgive me and really mean it. So
yes.
does that mean a Muslim enters heaven?
I'm sorry?
A Muslim can go to heaven, all they have to do is say, God, please forgive me and really mean it?
Well, you got me on that one. I think you've forgotten
something very, very important.
Okay.
Now, you're a Seventh-day Adventist. I know some Seventh-day Adventists,
yes.
and I know what you teach, and you've forgotten something that's so important. It's as important as a parachute when you jump out of a plane.
Okay, can you tell me?
I'll tell you in a minute. Okay?
Okay.
I want you to be a personality. I don't want this to be over too quick. So let's listen to your personality for a minute. Do you think you're a good person?
I'm a pretty good person, yeah.
You're pretty and you're a good person.
Yes.
Okay, let's give a little test. You talked about the commandments. How many lies have you told in your life?
Oh, I couldn't even tell you.
So you lost count?
Yeah.
So what do you call somebody who tells lies?
A liar.
Have you ever stolen anything? We're talking about the Eighth Commandment. Anything at all in your whole life, even if it's small?
Mm-hmm. Yes, I have.
What do you call someone who steals things?
A thief.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever used God's name in vain, even once in your life?
Yes, I have.
That's blasphemy, using God's name as a cuss word. Now,
yes.
Jesus said if you look with lust, sexual desire at another person, you commit adultery in the heart.
Exactly.
Have you ever looked with lust?
Yeah.
Okay, Brittany, let's have a little summation here to see if you've kept the Ten Commandments.
Okay.
By your own admission, you're a liar, a thief, a blasphemer, and an adulterer at heart.
Yep.
We've only looked at four of them. There's another six. So if God judged you by those Ten Commandments that you said we should keep, do you think you'd be innocent or guilty?
Guilty.
Would you go to heaven or hell?
Probably would go to hell.
Okay, does that concern you?
Yes, it does.
Okay, that brings us to the other way to be saved that you asked about, the parachute that you kind of forgot about. Okay, listen, this is what the Bible says.
Okay.
God is just and holy, and at the moment, His wrath abides on you. That's what Scripture says. You're an enemy of God in your mind through wicked works.
Okay.
But the same God who is just and holy is rich in mercy, and He provided a way for you to be forgiven. And the way He did it was that He became a human being in Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus was a perfect, sinless man. He didn't sin once. Then He gave His perfect life as a perfect sacrifice for the sin of the world. Now, most people know that, but they don't understand what actually happened. This is what happened. You and I broke God's law, the Ten Commandments. Jesus stepped in and paid our fine by suffering for us. That means God can now legally dismiss our case. He can forgive our sins, He can commute our death sentence and allow us to live because of the suffering, death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, what you and I have to do in response to that is two things. You must repent, that is, turn from your sins. And the second thing you have to do is trust in Jesus, like you trust in a parachute. You put your faith into it. You've got to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Brittany, the moment you do that, God will forgive every sin you've ever committed, and he will give you everlasting life. Not because you've kept the Ten Commandments, not because of your goodness, because we don't have any, but because of his goodness, because of his mercy, because of his grace. Does that make sense?
It does.
Okay. So if you were to die right now and God gave you justice, where would you go? Now think before you answer, according to the Bible.
Heaven.
Why?
I don't know if I'm understanding the question that
way. Well, if you were to die and God gave you justice, you'd end up in hell. All of us would, because we've broken those commandments. Okay. What we've got to do is two things. Do you remember what they are?
Repent.
Repent is one. And the second thing is trust in Jesus alone.
Yeah, of course.
Okay. Now, when are you going to do that? When are you going to forsake your sins and say, I'm not going to trust myself, I'm going to trust Jesus alone for my salvation?
I don't know. Like, me personally?
Yeah, when are you going to do that? I mean, we want to see you in heaven, Brittany. If you were to die today, I'd be horrified for you to go to hell. So we want you to say, today, now, this is so important. God commands me to repent. I'm not going to put it off. I could be dead tomorrow. Get what I'm saying?
I understand exactly what you're saying.
Okay, now here's my friend Todd to talk to you.
Hey, Brittany, how do you do?
I'm fine.
Hey, so are you kind of hearing a little urgency in the fellow's voice?
Yeah, I am.
Okay, now you need to understand this is good news. I mean, the bad news is we all deserve to go to hell, but the good news is God will save you.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, repentance and faith, and God will forgive all of your sins, not because you're good, but because you're bad, and he's good, and you get his goodness credited to your account so that he gets all the credit for saving you. Not by keeping the Sabbath, not by doing good things. We do nothing good. It's all Jesus. So repenting and putting your trust in him. Hey, Brittany, we're going to be praying for you, okay?
Thank you very much.
All right. Thanks for talking to us today.
Okay, thank you.
Goodbye. Ray.
Yes.
If somebody's listening and they're wondering, why didn't you lead her in the sinner's prayer? Why didn't you lead her in the sinner's prayer?
Because I'm terrified of creating false converts.
What do you mean?
By that, I mean, when my three children were born, I noticed something very interesting, is that you don't have to do much. The doctor arrives and he gets, I think you got $30 for arriving late. But if there's no complications, God has done it so it's just the baby's there. You just have to guide the head.
I'm sorry. What sound
have you not
happens?
Been there during the birth of a baby?
Don't recall that sound.
It is. That's if you get a it just comes out like a great big sort of wet rubber whatever, ducky. I don't know. But it's mixed that
You
noise.
Want to keep talking, or do you want me to interrupt you at any time?
Just don't interrupt.
Okay.
And it was just all natural. All you got to do is guide the head. That's what the nurse does or the doctor does. Head comes out, you guide the head, and plop, the rest comes out. It's kind of that shape.
Again with the sounds.
Yeah. And that's exactly the same when someone's born of God. I don't want to interfere. If there's no complications, God does the whole thing. All I'm called to do is guide the head. Philip said to the Ethiopian eunuch, do you understand what you're reading? The good soil here is he who hears and understands. And the way to bring about understanding is to use the law because it brings the knowledge of sin. It's a schoolmaster. It teaches. So my job as an evangelist or as a witness of Christ is to guide the head, to bring about understanding, and then God brings about the new birth. And when I was a new Christian, I ran around a little book called Four Spiritual Floors in my hand, and I got people to say the prayer at the end. I'd say, 1, 2, 3, 4, say this prayer, wonderful new life. And I created, I think, 27 false converts out of 28 decisions that I got. Those people became bitter backsliders, and I learned a lesson that you do not interfere in a work of God. They must be born of the Spirit, not of the will of man, not of the will of the flesh.
Now, we don't know what was going on with Brittany's heart, Ray, and how convicted she may or may not have been. Honestly, when God is truly saving somebody, it's truly a supernatural thing, and you can't help but notice something.
It's got to be, but we've seen so many people come up to the altar and sort of have a friend's hand, they come up to the altar, they're laughing, and they give their heart to Jesus. No, there should be a sorrow, a contrition, a realization of sin against God. There should be a fear of God.
Now, yeah. if you're listening to this and you're in that slidden place right now where you maybe have asked Jesus into your heart a half dozen times already, but something is wrong, weigh the issue. It is brokenness, done with self, understanding how sinful you are, understanding what a kind Savior would die to take your place, then dead to self. You repent, apologize, turn from your sins, flee from your sins, put your trust in Jesus, then you'll be born again. And Ray, will people notice a difference?
You will notice a difference. New creature, new heart, new desires, a love for God, a love for the Word, a love for holiness, a concern for the lost. It's so radical. It's not... I'm still shaking my head after 36 years. Born again, new creature.
And your family will know.
Oh, yeah.
And your kids are going to know.
Oh, yeah.
Because if within the first month, somebody, now this isn't like a biblical criteria, but if within the first month of getting saved, somebody doesn't say, what's up with you, or why do you keep witnessing to me? Maybe you better examine yourself again.
Back with more on Wretched Radio.
If you're like most people, you have a passion to see souls saved, but don't know where to start. Might I suggest Hearts for the Lost? They assist local pastors and church congregations by helping them equip the saints with biblical principles for personal evangelism. They fly out to your church, put on an evangelism seminar, and then go out into the streets with you to put it into practice. And it's all free. To learn more or to schedule a conference, go to heartsforthelost.com. Heartsforthelost.com. This is Wretched Radio. Hi, I'm Tony Verkennis. Religious freedom is all right, provided it doesn't get in the way of LGBT rights, according to some Harvard students. The Ivy League school has announced plans to open a program that allows its law students to work on religious liberty cases under an attorney's supervision. The Religious Freedom Clinic joins 46 other legal clinics offering practical experience to students in areas as diverse as animal rights, LGBT advocacy, and voting rights. The new clinic immediately came under attack. Shocking. Without the guarantee that such a religious freedom clinic would not provide legal services in support of anti-LGBTQ+ and anti-reproductive justice causes, we do not understand how such a clinic could be housed at Harvard Law, said the LGBTQ advocacy group Lambda to Dean John Manning. Manning has not officially responded as yet. The Stanford and Yale law schools have similar clinics. Stanford students have handled a wide variety of cases involving all faiths since they began the clinic back in 2013. They're apparently only rights if we agree with them. What a world. As long as we're talking religious rights, UPS calls it a misunderstanding, but UPS drivers call it bullying. Drivers say that a Myrtle Beach, South Carolina center manager has continued to retaliate against them for praying in the parking lot before working hours, even though the company released a statement saying it allows pre-work prayer. Employees at UPS and elsewhere are allowed by law to voluntarily read the Bible, pray together, or discuss spiritual matters before their shifts begin for the day, during their lunch breaks, or during any other off-the-clock time, when they may otherwise read or discuss secular topics, said Liberty Council Chairman Matt Staver. He called on UPS to take action against supervisors who are still hostile to off-hour religious expression. That should be most interesting to watch. We are still talking religious liberty. Franklin Graham, who earlier this year had all 8 of his planned United Kingdom appearances canceled by the venues they were scheduled for, under pressure from the LGBT community, well, he's now facing a similar backlash in Germany. He was scheduled to bring the gospel to Germany at the Cologne Lanxess Arena on June 20th, but Sven Lehmann, a member of the country's federal parliament, the Bundestag, sent an open letter to the venue urging it not to stage the hate preacher, according to a report in UK's Premier Christian News. In addition, the Cologne Lesbian and Gay Day alleged that Graham's biblical view regarding homosexuality as sin creates a, quote, breeding ground on which violence against lesbians and gays thrives. Oddly, I don't remember the BGA having riots at their venues before, do you? The German development comes after the BGEA filed suit in late February against at least one of the UK venues that canceled this summer tour stops, Graham telling the Guardian newspaper that the venues were breaking signed contracts. Not sure that matters anymore. More Wretched Radio straight ahead. I'm Tony Verkennis.
Books of the Bible. Luke was a physician and companion of Paul, who wrote an orderly account of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He meticulously details names, places, and events. Luke shows great concern for people of every class, especially overlooked or undesirable people. We are all from various places and classes, but Jesus Christ is the Savior for all mankind. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Oh, Trish!
Hi.
Hey, kiddo.
I found a Muslim that is willing to be on the air, and I'm happy. He's on his way home with his whole family, right, to Canada. And so he's got, you know, 11 minutes or whatnot just to talk to you. So they're all listening in two cars. They're packed up. And so, yeah, this is great.
So all the Muslim family are listening to me at the moment as I speak?
Yes, they are.
What an honor and a privilege to speak. What an honor and a privilege to speak to Muslim. I'm excited.
What's his name?
Ali.
Ali, already. And anything, practicing Muslim or just kind of backslidden?
Ali, he says he's Muslim. He was born into Islam. But I don't know how practicing he is. You'll have to ask him. He does not do the whole bowing down to Mecca five times a day. You haven't been to Medina, anything like that. So I don't know how practicing that would be considered.
Alrighty.
You know, I forgot to mention, Todd and Ray, that Ali said he is not Sunni. He's Shiite Muslim.
So that's a little bit different.
Yeah, they said that they don't have to necessarily do all the things that maybe that the Sunnis do. Here he is. You ready?
That's interesting. Yeah.
Hello?
Ali, thank you for coming on the program.
Oh, you're welcome.
How you doing?
I'm pretty good, thank you.
Good. Now, could you, if you can, tell me the difference between Islam and Christianity? Is there any big difference?
Well, you know what? I don't like making a separation because what we're taught in Islam or in being a Muslim, we're just taught that everybody's the exact same. No matter what they do or what they believe in, we're all one, right? We're all human. And so, really, we're taught not to judge other people. So I don't think there is a difference. The only difference is what we believe, but I think that we're all human, and, you know, we're just told to treat everybody equally.
Boy, that's great. So What does Islam say, not what you say, what does Islam say is the fate of Christians? Someone who's not a Muslim, a non-Muslim person, where will they spend eternity?
It's not said. You know, like, it's not really said that non-Muslims are any better off or any worse than...
Okay, tell me why I should become a Muslim. Convince me.
Well, basically, what we're taught, we're taught not to hate.
Okay.
You know, we're taught to treat everybody equally, and I think that's very important. So, you know, any other religion that basically says that anybody that's not a Christian, for example, or not Hindu or whatever, if they're taught that any other religion is wrong in what they believe, I think that's wrong.
That's your judgment.
No, that's what we believe.
But you're saying that anybody who says there's another way to heaven is wrong. So
Okay,
tell me.
You're misinterpreting what I'm saying.
Okay, tell me what I'm doing wrong.
Well, basically what I'm saying is that any other religion that says that any other religion is wrong is not right.
So they're wrong.
We should just all believe whatever we believe, and that's just what it should be.
Okay,
you know, I'm a Muslim, and I'm okay with being a Muslim, and I'm okay with somebody that's a Christian and believes whatever they want to believe.
Okay.
It's just that when people start hating, that's when it becomes a problem.
Absolutely. Hate's a horrible thing, and Christianity is the one religion that says to love your enemies and do good to those that despitefully use you and persecute you and hate you.
Well, I don't think it's the only religion that says that.
Islam says to love your enemies?
It doesn't say to love your enemies. It says not to have any enemies.
Okay. Well, that's interesting. Sometimes you can't avoid having enemies. Let me share with you the difference between Christianity and Islam, and then you can get back to me on what you think about it, okay?
Sure.
Christianity says that God is holy, he's perfect, and we have to face him on Judgment Day.
Mm-hmm. We believe the same thing.
Okay. Christianity says that all of us are sinners, and God is, because he's just and good, he must punish anyone who sinned against the law of Moses.
Okay,
so there may be a divide here between Christianity and Islam. Christianity says you cannot bribe God to forgive your sins by being good, by asking for forgiveness, or by doing anything. Christianity says the only thing that can save you is the mercy of God. And because God is just and holy, he's made a way for him to be merciful. And by that I mean a judge who has a criminal standing in front of him with a $1 million fine cannot show mercy to the criminal and just let him go because he's his brother-in-law or because he likes him or because he feels sorry for him. He's bound to do what is right and just. And God's the
same.
And he will not forgive us unless there's a reason to forgive. And the reason that God can forgive is because he provided a Savior to suffer and die on the cross for our sins. Christianity says this: if you look at a woman and lust after her, you commit adultery with her already in your heart. Christianity says if you hate someone, you're a murderer. It says all liars will have their part in the lake of fire. It says no thief or blasphemer will inherit the kingdom of God. In fact, Christianity says be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect, and none of us are perfect. I mean, who hasn't lusted after a woman? Ali, have you ever looked at a woman with lust, sexual desire?
No.
What? Are you homosexual?
I am.
Okay. Christianity says homosexuals are not inherit the kingdom of God, along with adulterers and fornicators and thieves and liars and blasphemers.
And this is why... That's what I'm saying. That's what Muslims do not believe. Muslims do not believe to hate on anybody and say that, you know what, you're not right because this is what you do. You're not right because who you choose to have sexual desires for.
Ali, when we say adulterers will not inherit the kingdom of God, we don't hate adulterers. When we say fornicators and liars and blasphemers will not inherit the kingdom of God, we don't hate them. We love them enough to tell them they have to stand before a holy God. And God is the one that says... adulterers, thieves, liars, blasphemers, homosexuals, fornicators are not inherit the kingdom of God. So we're motivated by love. That's the spring of it all.
That's great. That's great. But I'm not. I didn't choose. Like, I was asked to come on this radio station to basically tell you what we believe in. I feel that what you're doing to me right now is not fair.
What's not fair?
Well, how you're speaking to me and what you're saying. You're trying to change some of the words that I'm saying around, and I don't appreciate that very much.
Well, be tolerant towards me, please. Show love towards me.
I mean, that's why I'm on here, right?
Like, I appreciate it, because I tolerate, and I love you, and I care about you. And the question when you came on was, what's the difference between Christianity and Islam? And you couldn't tell me. So I was telling you there's a huge divide between the two of them.
I never said there isn't a difference.
Okay.
I was just trying to explain to you what we believe.
Okay.
Because I have to say that I'm not very knowledgeable in Christianity.
Ali, perhaps you've learned something today because you've been open-hearted and listened to what I've said.
I
want to learn about other religions. I want to know the difference between Islam and Christianity and Hinduism and Christianity because, Ali, we're talking about your eternal salvation. We're talking about where you'll spend eternity. So if you're wrong or if I'm wrong, we should be told. We should know about it. And I care about you'll spend eternity. And I've got to tell you the truth, even though it may offend you and upset you, I've got to tell you the truth. And that's, if you look at the history of Christianity, Christians were stoned to death, they were thrown to lions, they were burned at the stake. Why? Because they told the truth. They wouldn't compromise. They said, God is holy and perfect and righteous. Hell is real.
And that's, if you have faith, absolutely. We have faith as well. So you know what? I'm going to do whatever, I'm a Muslim, so I, you know, believe in doing right, not doing wrong. And, you know, anybody that kind of says otherwise and tells me that, no, I shouldn't believe that, that's when I start getting a bit offended.
Well, that's human nature to be offended we're told we're wrong. But you've got to consider the fact that you may be wrong. I may be wrong. And what we've got to do is listen.
No, I don't think anybody's wrong. We believe whatever we believe. There's no right and there's no wrong.
Okay, here's Todd's territory. Todd, take over.
You just believe in whatever you believe. I don't think that I should be told that I necessarily might be wrong in what I believe because I don't feel that about you.
Hey, Ali, nice to meet you. My name is Todd.
Okay.
Can I ask you, if somebody were going to hurt themselves, they were maybe going to walk out into the freeway, they just didn't know any better, you'd stop them and say, hey, you're going in the wrong direction, right?
Of course.
Yeah, and that's loving. So what that fellow was trying to do was simply say, hey, I think you're going in the wrong direction. He's not trying to be mean. He doesn't hate you.
Right.
He's concerned.
You know what? I appreciate that, but I do have to leave now because I only had about 5 to 7 minutes.
Last question, Ali. Ali, what does the Quran teach about homosexuality?
You know what? I don't even know what it says. I don't think it says anything.
Oh, it does.
But you know what? What I'm a Shia Ismaili Muslim, right?
Mm-hmm.
And our basis of Islam and faith is based around the Quran, but we're a more liberal type of Muslim. And you know what? Whatever the Quran says about homosexuality is fine.
Yeah, it condemns it.
Right.
And Ali, Christianity says you can be forgiven.
Oh,
Islam
you know what?
Does
it's not about being forgiven. Like, this is, it feels to me that you're promoting Christianity to me, and I don't appreciate that.
Why not?
I was told to just.
Why not? What's wrong with this? You're an adult. I'm an adult. We can handle this, can't we?
No, and I don't, you know what? And that's fine, but I just don't like being preached to and saying that, you know what? I'm going to be forgiven for being homosexual or whatever it is, or being Muslim, because you might think that I'm wrong. I don't do that to you. Why are you doing it to me?
You can. I don't have a problem with it.
Right.
Right. It just seems a little strange you say that everybody can believe what they want, but you're telling me I shouldn't be believing what I want and telling you about it. It seems a little bit hypocritical, perhaps.
Well, you can think whatever you want, really, you know, and all I'm saying is the note that I want to leave on is basically saying that what Muslims believe that all humans are equal, no matter their race, religion, or creed. So, you know what, that just shows to me that we are accepting of everybody and anybody, and we don't really necessarily believe
except,
that.
Except people who try to share their faith with other people.
Oh, you know what, and I just don't, it feels like you're enforcing it upon me.
Okay. You know? All right. Ollie, then our apologies for that. We can't enforce anything. Nobody can make you do anything. We're just trying to share with you that there's, as we agreed, there's a judgment to come. And if God is right and homosexuality is wrong, there's only one Savior. There's only one forgiveness available, and that's in Jesus Christ.
You know what?
Christ.
We'll find that out when we all die, and that's what's going to happen.
You are correct.
Yeah.
See you on that day, Ollie.
All right. Take care.
Goodbye. You know, I have to tell you, I am just kind of a little on the weary side of the, hey, you can't tell me what you believe because it makes me feel bad routine. Come on.
This is Wretched Radio. Let me take you to Eastern Europe, where the stories coming out of the Tomorrow Clubs are much better than my accent.
Katya came to the club when she was 14. Her father at the time left their family, and her mother was struggling to raise 5 kids by herself. Katya loved her experience in the Tomorrow Club right away and was overwhelmed by the amount of God's love shown through the leaders. Very soon, she brought 3 of her siblings that later became her helpers. Last year, Katya repented at the local church and was baptized. Now she's a leader in this Tomorrow Club, serving God. And I want to thank the Wretched Radio for your support that made Katya's story possible. May God bless you.
That's our dear brother, Max, leading the Tomorrow Clubs in Eastern Europe. $30 a month, 30 disciples, your own Tomorrow Club in a small, poor Eastern European village. You can become a Tomorrow Club sponsor. TomorrowClubs.org/wretched. TomorrowClubs.org/wretched.
Now obeying the Great Commission is easier than ever. So far, you have given away over 800,000 copies of our evangelistic booklet, What Time is Purple? And we couldn't be more thrilled. But we are far from finished, my fellow evangelist. Not to be greedy or anything, but our goal is to give away 1 million copies of What Time is Purple. It's perfect for college students struggling to figure out what the truth is, or for atheists or agnostics you may know. So while you're visiting wretched.org/purple, order your copies and order as many copies as you promised to give away. And all you do is pay for the shipping. Together, we can reach 1 million students with the gospel. 1 million. If you're a ministry or a church group and you'd like to pass out a whole herd of What Time is Purple, is it a herd or would it be a gaggle? Anyway, we'd love to send you a bunch of copies. Just email Al Yerkes, al@wretched.org, and he'll get you all sorted. Join us in obeying the Great Commission at wretched.org/purple.
Do ultrasounds really save the lives of babies? Yeah.
My pregnancy was unplanned. Abortion was in the back of my mind, but seeing my baby girl moving and hearing the heartbeat, it was so overwhelming. We can't wait to welcome our baby girl into this world.
One ultrasound, one saved baby. Would you please consider supporting the Ministry of Preborn? Just $28 will provide a free ultrasound to a woman who is considering abortion. They are saving lives. Lives every day. 80% of the time a woman sees an ultrasound, she decides to choose life. How many ultrasounds could you provide for just $28? Kindly visit preborn.org/wretched, preborn.org/wretched. Provide ultrasounds and save the lives of babies.
Important dates in Christian history. 1611. The Authorized or King James translation of the Bible in the English language is published. 54 scholars worked for 4 years on the project. The King James Version became the Bible of choice in the English-speaking world for over 400 years. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Oh, what is that smell?
Is it hypocrisy?
Oh, like we've never smelled before.
Oh, good.
Oh, is this stinky. Wait till you hear this. Trish, who goes out fishing, always does such a fine job, found a homosexual Shiite non-practicing Muslim. You got that? And if you recall, he really didn't like the whole idea of somebody trying to get him to think differently. Trish has the follow-up. Oh, Trish.
Hi, Todd. It's a blessing to be here on the air with you, and boy, do I really mean that.
You're just glad to be breathing another day, is what I presume.
I really am. And, you know, it's interesting because right after he got off the air, all of a sudden the atmosphere got extremely intense, and I wasn't expecting it because they all had smiles on their faces until a certain point, and things got very intense, and Ali's family got out of both cars. And within minutes, there were, I don't know, 10 to 15 plus Muslims surrounding me. And one in particularly was extremely upset. He was the oldest one of the group. Maybe he was like a grandfather.
The patriarch, perhaps, sure.
And he was in my face. He was saying words that are completely, obviously, unrepeatable. And he basically said something to the effect of, you know what you should do? You should take this message and go to a Muslim nation and see what happens to you. Blankety blank, blank, blank.
So, Trish, the very thing that Ali was saying...
I feel that what you're doing to me right now is not fair.
They, with...
We're doing to me.
Foul language. Now, were you concerned that you might actually get hurt?
You know what? At one moment, I was really glad that I was outside of Marshall's in the daylight and that it wasn't in a dark alley somewhere, obviously. So I made it out, and, you know, like the proverb says, you know, what is it? Proverbs 15:1, a soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. I just continued to just apologize and said, I'm really sorry you all feel this way. And I let them vent, and I stood there and just thought to myself, Lord, get me out of this. And then about four of the Muslims ended up holding back the, if you want to call it, the patriarch. And then I was able to talk to Ali pretty reasonably, and I gave him my email and said, you know, if you'd like to dialogue about this on email, then do so. So we'll see what happens.
Well done, kiddo.
Thanks, Todd. Well, now I've kind of moved down a couple stores, and I'm in front of a little Thai food shop that smells quite good right now. But anyway, I ran into a nice young man. His name is Zach, and I did my little spiel of, you know, we're looking for people that aren't Christians to be on Christian radio, and, you know, and I listed them off, and I threw Mormons in there, and he goes, hey, wait a minute, they're Christians. And I go, well, would you mind talking about that on the radio? And he goes, well, he goes, I'm actually a different type of Mormon. I said, well, what do you mean? And he said, well, basically, I've picked the Mormon church because they treat, you know, their people well. He said, but he's not sure really if there really is a God. He, as far as theology, he's a little bit confused on, you know, God and things. And I asked him, well, Zach, what happens after you die? What did you say, Zach? I've got to just let him say it, Todd, because what did you say?
I believe that the soul of the body is contained within the electrical energy of the body, and that when we die, the electricity leaves our body and joins the electricity of the universe, and that's the afterlife.
So he definitely believes different than Mormons, and his name's Zach, and he's ready to talk to you, Todd.
All righty, then. That's actually sounding like Buddhism or Hindu, you know, getting connected with the divine spark. All righty, then. Let's give it a go with Zach, shall we?
Okay, Zach, you're on.
All righty.
Hello, how you doing today?
Hey, Zach, I'm good. How are you?
All right, I guess.
All right, dude, you're an electrical energy gets zapped and you go to be with the great big electron in the sky. What's your deal?
Yeah, that's where I believe the soul is in the afterlife.
Okay, so the soul is electricity.
Right.
Okay. How do you know this?
How do we really know anything? I choose to believe it because it makes the most sense as science can be right now. We haven't been able to... Electricity is one of the few things we haven't been able to explain why it works. We just know how it works. And it would be a possible medium between the afterlife and the current world. So that's where I figured soul was.
If that's the case, that I got to tell you, Zach, that seems a little on the flimsy side to me.
It does, but I have a personal belief that there's nothing, there's not a external force that can't be measured that's going to affect this world.
Well,
and if I was to have to explain where afterlife comes from, where the soul exists, it has to be in some way measurable on Earth.
Well, that type of empirical data, we don't need. For instance, Zach, do you believe in love?
Yes.
How do you measure love? How do you know that? How do you get put a little gadget onto that emotion and measure it? You don't, but you know it exists because you know it.
Feel it.
All right. So just because we can't measure it, that doesn't mean it's the criteria for certainty.
No.
Okay. I want to try something with you, all right? You said that this theory that you've got makes the most sense. So I want to take a shot at this. I want to tell you my theory, and then you tell me if you think it makes any sense at all or no sense at all, okay? Or makes a ton of sense. How's that?
All right, we can go for it.
All right, here's what I'm going to go with, Zach, and I'm going to tell you right up front here. I'm a Christian, all right? I take this book, which is a known quantity. I can measure whether it's accurate or not based on its contents. And this book says that it is appointed unto man once to die, then judgment. You die, you stand before your Creator to give an account for your life. And that seems to make some sense because, Zach, I know you watch the 10 o'clock news and sometimes you grind your teeth going, oh, there's so many bad things going on in this world. I wish they'd catch all those bad guys and lock them up.
Yeah, it sucks. It's part of the human condition, unfortunately.
It is, and God is going to have everybody give an account for that. But he's going to go deeper than that, Zach. He's going to examine the intentions of our heart. So, Zach, there you are. You maybe haven't done a head kicking with your boots on, but if God examined your heart, what would he see, Zach?
I believe he'd see I did my best to live a good life. I was a rather good person overall, caring and giving.
All right. How many lies do you think you've told in your life?
Oh, probably 15,000.
Give or take?
Yeah.
Okay. Zach, if I told
you... I never said I was perfect.
Okay. Well, you said you're a good person.
Yes.
Who tells 15,000 lies?
Yes, but you know how many million of good things I've done?
Don't know, but let's keep going with the bad side, and then we'll see if you can balance it out with the good, okay? All right. How many times have you stolen something?
I think 6 times.
All right, 6 times. So we're up to 15,006. How many times do you think that you've looked at a woman and had a sexual desire about her?
Oh, we're into the billions now.
All right, so now we're up to 1,015,006. All right, so Zach, how many times do you think you've taken God's name in vain by using it in a bad way? Don't do it now, but how many times do you think?
Probably a few hundred thousand.
A few hundred thousand. All right, so now we're up to 1,000,000,000, a few hundred thousand, 15,006 times you've broken God's laws.
Right.
Dude, you're sticking with the good person defense?
Yep.
Okay, let's just say that you were with a judge on this earth, okay? Who isn't as good of a judge as God, and he knew that you broke 1,000,000,000 laws. And Zach, if you said, but judge, I'm a good guy, man, he might throw something at you. So there you are. Would he find you innocent or guilty, Zach?
He can find me innocent because God is commanded to give every person 7 times 7 times 7 times forgiveness.
That's what we're supposed to do because we've been forgiven.
Right, and like it is on earth, it is in heaven.
But there's one step missing there, though, okay? We're supposed to forgive that many times because we've been forgiven that many times. The question is, though, how do we get forgiven by God and why? We can't leave out that step because God, if he's just doesn't go, well, I'm just going to forgive, because if he just forgave everybody just because, then he wouldn't be just and he wouldn't be whole.
Well, that's where prayer, repentance, and asking for forgiveness comes in.
Well, I would say that comes in there, but the big thing that comes in there is that's where Jesus comes in. You see, if you said to the judge, well, judge, I'd like you to forgive me, he's going to say, well, I can't. I'm sworn to uphold justice. Now, if somebody stepped into the courtroom and paid your fine, then he could forgive your debt, but somebody's got to pay the fine. Zach, that's what Jesus did. That's the good news of the gospel. He took the punishment on the cross that you deserve, died, rose from the dead, and your badness could be put on him, and his goodness could be given for you, to you, and credited to your account. But Zach, you got to believe that it's true. You've got to repent. Agree with God. You're not a good guy. You're a bad guy who needs forgiveness. You call out to him for mercy, and you put your trust in Jesus. And he says, then, Zach, I'll forgive you. Then I'll forgive you, and you'll be so glad. You'll love him for forever, and you're going to forgive everybody who does wrong against you because God has forgiven you so much. So, Zach, that's the plan that I think makes sense, that God will save sinners if you will repent and put your trust in his son, Jesus Christ. Now, you're going to have to determine if that makes more sense or if the electricity connection makes more sense. But that's the Christian gospel.
Why can't they coexist?
Because
they're
contradictory.
Be where God is.
Because they're contradictory. They make no sense together. So, Zach, I just beg you, please just think about it today, okay? Will you do that?
Sure.
All right, dude. Thanks for the time.
Yeah, have a nice day.
Until next time, go serve your king.